Leviticus 8. Leviticus 8. We are still in our series. This is week two of our series in the book of Leviticus, living in the presence, in God's holy presence. And so this week, Pastor Artie taught us from Leviticus 1 last week, where he talked to us about the burnt offering. And so if you missed 1 through 7, we're going to talk about that, 2 through 7, 1 through 7, excuse me, we'll talk about that a little bit. But to 8, today we're in Leviticus 8. So we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to jump down to verse 34. Y'all ready? All right, here we go. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting." Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly gathered at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses said to the assembly, "This is what the Lord has commanded to be done." Jump down to verse 34. And it says, "What has been done today was commanded by the Lord to make atonement for you. You must stay at the entrance to the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days and do what the Lord requires so you will not die. For that is what I have commanded." So Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord commanded through Moses. So for a thought today, I want you to do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Just as the Lord commanded." Just as the Lord commanded. In Leviticus chapter 1 through 7, we see what each of the offerings God commanded Moses to give for and with Israel. In chapters 1 and 6, we see the burnt offering, which is an offering of consecration. In chapters 2, 6, and 7, we see the grain offering of service to God and to each other. In chapters 3 and in chapter 7, we see the peace offering of fellowship. In chapters 4 and in chapter 6, we see the sin offering for redemption of our sinful nature, our sins against God. In chapters 5 and in chapter 7, we see the trespass offering, or in some text is called the guilt offering, which is the offering, again, for intentional sin. It's also the offering from some unintentional sin, and it is the offering of restitution. What do I mean by restitutions? So anytime there was sin committed against a holy thing, or there was sin committed against somebody else, that there had to be restitution, that you had to make whole what you did, and you had to add a fifth to it. So we get down into chapter 8, and chapter 8 begins the ordination of the priests. Previous to chapter 8, previous to this point, the offerings, these sin offerings, were done by the male. It was the responsibility of the male of each family. And now, as we get into chapter 8, God is now saying that this is something that he wants Aaron and his sons to do. He's calling them to be the priesthood as the Lord commands. Ordination. The word ordination is the Hebrew word. Let me use this Western Theological Seminary degree. Is the Greek. Listen, yeah, as much as that costs, I'm about to use it. it shouldn't be so expensive to work for the Lord. Anyway, making it right, Lord. Anyway, the Hebrew word for ordination is kadesh, meaning to make holy, to set apart, to make clean. Kadesh, the word kadesh is made up of the Hebrew letters kuf, dalet, and shin. Kuf, dalet, and shin. Kuf, for those who don't know Hebrew, the Hebrew language is not, it also comes with it a picturesque idea. So each letter is attached to a picture. And so kuf is the picture of the back of the head, which symbolizes behind or the last or the least. Dalet is a picture in Hebrew of a door, and a point or a time or a place where a decision has to be made. So we know in our lives, you know, if you step through a door, you have to make a decision. And shin in the Hebrew is a picture of teeth, which means to consume, to destroy, or to press. And this is the Hebrew letter, the only Hebrew letter where God uses to identify himself. Kuf in the Hebrew represents the number 100, which speaks of the children of promise. Dalet is the number 4 and stands for creation. Shin is the number 300, and it points us to the final blood sacrifice made by the Lamb of God. Ordination. Aaron and his sons are going through an ordination. Ordination means going from a profane place or a common place to a special place. It also in the Hebrew gives us the idea of filling a cupped hand with incense in order to make a sacrificial offering to God in his holy place of the temple. Y'all stay with me, okay? So in this text, God begins by telling Aaron, this is what you are, what Moses to Aaron and his son, what the priests are to bring. He tells them to bring their garments, bring their anointing oil, bring a bull for the sin offering, bring 2 rams, and bring a basket with bread that is made without yeast. Then he takes them through a process. He says Moses washes Aaron, and he washes Aaron's sons with water. Then Moses takes and he puts a tunic on Aaron, and then he ties a sash around him, and then he puts a robe around Aaron. The robe is worn because on the bottom of the robe there are bells. And these bells are present because they want to alert, be alerting people to the divine presence of God. And so anytime the high priest enters into the presence of God or enters into the sanctuary, you want to be aware that the presence of God is there, and you want to approach the presence of God the right way. Because I don't know if we'll get to this, but if you approach God in this time in the wrong way, what would happen is the priest would die, and there would be a rope tied around the priest. And if he approached God in the wrong way and died, people couldn't come in and get him. They had to pull the priest out by the rope. Then he placed on Aaron the breastplate, or what we would call the breastplate of judgment. And in the breastplate, he put 2 stones. One is Urim and the other is Thummim. Urim, which means light, and Thummim, which means perfection, were stones that were put in this breastplate to talk about or to remind them of the judgment and the light that came with being in the presence of God. And it was what they used when they approached God to say, God, teach us how to, or show us how to judge righteously. Then he placed a turban on Aaron's head and a gold plate, which we call the diadem. This was to remove God's the offense of Israel from God and ensure that God would accept our sacrifice. Then Moses took the oil and anointed the tabernacle, and he anointed everything that was in the tabernacle, and that consecrated the tabernacle. Then Moses took the same oil and he poured it on Aaron's head, which consecrated Aaron. Stay with me, okay? Then he turns to Aaron's son. He turns to Aaron's sons. He puts a tunic on them, ties a sash around them, fastens a cap around them, and then says to Aaron's son, now we must present God a bull, which is the sin offering. So Aaron's son, like Pastor already talked about last week, laid their hands on the head of the bull. Moses slaughters the bull and took some of the blood with his fingers, put the blood on the horns of the altar to purify and to consecrate the altar, making atonement. Moses then took the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of liver, and kidneys, and burned them on the altar. Then he takes the hide of the bull and the intestines of the bull and burns them outside of the camp. Then Aaron's sons, of course, then now they must present the ram for the ordination offering. Aaron and his sons again laid hands on the ram's head. Moses slaughters the ram. He took some of the blood and put it on Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. Moses then takes the blood, splashes it on the sides of the altar. Moses took the fat tail, the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of liver, the kidneys and their fat, and the fat on the thigh. Then he says, I want you to take the bread made without yeast. Take one thick roll with olive oil mixed in a thin loaf and place them on the fat and the thigh. Place all of this in Aaron's son's hand, and have them wave this as a wave offering. Then Moses took all this from their hands, burned it on the altar as a burnt and ordination offering. Moses took some of that oil and sprinkled some of Aaron's garments, some on his garments, and some on his son's garments. Moses then told Aaron and his son to cook the meat at the entrance of the camp. And not only do that, he says, then you don't leave for 7 days and seven nights. Then your ordination is complete. The Lord commands this to be done. And if you do this, he says, you will not die. That's a lot. Yeah, a whole lot, right? I'm so glad I'm live today. I'm like, we got to do all this for real? Anyway, so what is the purpose of all of this? What was the purpose? What was God trying to do? And what does that have to do with us today? Because I don't think anybody, did anybody bring their ram with them today? Anybody ram? Bull? You got your bulls? Okay, all right. Me neither. Listen, it was hard enough for me to be around some bees, let alone I sure thought they was going to tear me up. What is the purpose? So the purpose of this, of course, the burnt offering's purpose is for consecration. The grain offering is for service. The peace offering is for fellowship. The sin offering is redemption. And the trespass offering is for redemption and restitution. But what is the prophetic? What is the messianic purpose of all of this? What is the significance? It signifies, the burnt offering signifies from us a life that is completely dedicated to God. The grain offering signifies perfect humanity, the perfect humanity of Christ. The peace offering signifies for us, it's a shadow of the peace that we have with and through Christ. The sin offering is a shadow or a foretelling of Christ's death that made atonement for our sin. And then the trespass offering is a shadow of God being our trespass, Christ being our trespass offering. The role of the high priest in daily worship of God consists of the royal treatment, the appeal, the divine presence and nature of God in the earth. The high priest and serving in the palace, the purpose was not just to have pretty garments and not just to go through a ritual, but it was to show the adornment, the dignity, the things that come in the perfect way that God wants us to approach him and the way that God feels about us. Because all of these things that happened, that Aaron and his sons went through, represent the things that God has done for us. What Aaron and was to the old covenant and to Israel, Jesus is to us Jews and us Gentiles in the new covenant. Jesus was the one who went to Calvary on our behalf. Jesus was the one who carries us. What I forgot to say was that on the ephod of the priest, there was also a stone. So there was 12 stones which signified each of the tribes of Israel. They were on his shoulder and they were also on his chest. So to signify that Jesus, you know how Isaiah says it, that the government will be upon his shoulder. So the priest had to wear Israel on his shoulders and have them on his heart, because it's not enough just to carry them, but you got to love them too at the same time, okay? So Jesus was that. He was the one who carries all of us on his shoulders. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is our door. Jesus is the one who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the one who makes us right. So Christ is our burnt offering, and he presented himself to the Father so to do his will. Christ is our grain offering, because he is the one who serves his Father and serves us as the Son of Men. The Son of God became the Son of Men so the sons of men can have a relationship with the sons of God. Jesus is our peace offering, because he is the common bond and fellowship between God and man. Jesus is our sin offering, because he is the one that got on a cross and died and resurrected himself. And so now that makes atonement for not just the sins that we did, but the sins that we do and the sins that we will do. Jesus is the one who makes us right. Jesus is our trespass offering, because not only does he forgive us of our sins, but he restores us back and says that even the restitution that you are supposed to make, I'm going to make that for you. Jesus is our high priest. This is important, y'all. Listen, this is important. This is important. This is important. This is so important for all of us to know. But it's not just good enough for us to know this, Because I think we're good at knowing, right? We know that Jesus can heal. We know that Jesus can deliver. We know that Jesus can save. But when we really understand what Jesus is, then we won't just know it, we will believe it. What do I mean? But to know something means that we are aware through observation. Like, I know that God has the ability to heal because I've seen God heal somebody else. But when you believe it, what that means is when I get sick, now I can say that the same God who was able to deliver and to heal them, I have that same spirit in me, and God, you will be able to heal me. So we got to move from just knowing that Jesus can do it and what Christ is to believing who Christ is in our lives. Because when we begin to believe who Christ is, then we can begin to operate the way that God has called us to operate as his priests. If you don't believe it, can I say this? In most instances, if you don't believe it, he won't do it. Just think about that. If you don't believe he's a way out of no way, then he won't be a way out of no way. But if we believe that God, that Jesus is, then it opens the door for him to show up in our lives the same way that we are saying that we believe him to be. I'm going to keep going because y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. That's all right. Here is part of the problem. Part of the problem is this, is that because we don't believe that God is something, then it means that we don't have access into something. Let me give you an example. So my son has no problem coming up to me saying, "Dad, hey, can you do this?" And I'm like, "Dude, you don't even know if I got money." He told me the other day, "Dad, it's no big deal for you to buy this, because you're a millionaire, and it's only $10,000. And I'm like, "Who told him I was a millionaire?" I don't know, but he believes that I am a millionaire. I'm believing it for him now that he said it. But the reality is, if he didn't believe it, he wouldn't ask me for it. And oftentimes, we are afraid to ask God for something because we don't believe that the God who has ordained us and who has set us apart, who has said what we are in his presence, and we're afraid to ask him. Sometimes the problem is we just gotta change our belief. Yeah. Okay. God calls each of us, 7 minutes. God calls each of us who have confessed and believe the Lord Jesus to be his priest in the earth. So Jesus is our high priest. Yes, but we are his priests. So in the Levitical text, Aaron would be Jesus and we would be Aaron's sons. So Jesus has already gone before us and has already presented the way. And now we, as his priests, as his disciples, those who have been consecrated, are called to be that in the world. Serving, the interesting part in this text is that this consecration was done in front of the people. And when I first saw that, I was like, "Wait, hold on. They doing this in front of the people. Y'all going to do out pour blood and all that stuff in front of everybody? That's kind of weird." But all right. But this was done in front of the people. And I wanted to know, why, God, did you want to do this in front of the people? And it was very simple, because the process of ordination signifies our salvation, our sanctification, and our justification, not being a work of our flesh, but being a work that comes by the Spirit. God wanted the ordination of Aaron and his son to be done in view of people because he wanted the people and Aaron's sons to understand that this was not something that was done because you were worthy. This was something that was done because I'm worthy and I'm going to make you worthy. This was not done in front of people because they were just so good, but he also wanted to ordain them because he wanted them to understand that not only are you accountable to me as your God, but you are accountable to these people who you are supposed to serve. So us as priests of God have a responsibility to the people of God so that when we operate in the world, we are to operate in the world in a way that shows who God is. We are to treat people the way God desires for us to treat them because we are God's priest to the world. This does not tell Aaron's sons and Aaron that they are better or above the people. I just need to say that. I'm not going to do that yet. They're not better than anybody. As a matter of fact, they're servants to the people. They serve the people. Let me say that again. They serve the people. So I say that for my fellow brothers and sisters in the ministry who think that just because you stand on the platform, that means that you get all the kind of pretty privileges, even though I did use my privilege to get a plate the other day, but God, I'm sorry. I did. That food was so good, y'all. Anyway, I digress. But it's to make us servants. We are servants to God's people. We are servants to God's creation. We are to serve one another in such a way that as people experience us, they experience us in a way that says, I want to be just like them and know the God that they serve. So that's why the scripture says that men should see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That's what that means. The priesthood, 3 minutes. Okay, thank you. The priesthood is for all. The priesthood is for all. I'm gonna say it again. The priesthood is for all, not just a select few. So standing behind this don't mean that I'm the priest. And if you don't stand behind this, it don't mean that you're not a priest. It means that if you are a teacher and you are the beloved of God and you have accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are a priest. If you are a nurse and you are, when you are in the hospital, as you walk around the hospital and you are talking to your patients, it means you are a priest. If you are a teacher and a construction worker or whatever place, a student, whatever space God has you in, that means God has called you to be a priest. And God showed us, listen, here's the interesting part of this text. If you think about it, God showed us his grace even in this moment. Because if you rewind and go back into the book of Exodus, God is calling Aaron. Aaron, if you remember, when Moses is on the mountain and Moses is coming down the mountain, y'all remember that? And Moses is coming down the mountain like, hey, I got the Ten Commandments. And he come down and they like got a golden calf. Remember that? Y'all remember that? Guess who is the one who was participating in building this golden calf and the altar? It was Aaron. And so the same man, the same man who was participating and leading the worship of a God who was not Yahweh is now being used as the one who will be the intercessor for Israel into God. So this is for the inner critic in you that's telling you he ain't talking to you. Even though you might have done some things that were not of God, God still calls you to be his priest. Even if you don't think that your life measures up to what God would call it to be, God has still called you to be a priest. Even if you don't do everything right, God has called you to be a priest. Even if the world world says that you are not good enough, God has called you to be his priest. If you've gone through bankruptcy, divorce, whatever it is, God has still called you to be his priest, because it wasn't by your work. It wasn't by my goodness. It was by what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And when we understand that, now we don't live from behind, we live from ahead. We don't live defensively, we live offensively. We go into places and people begin to say, there is something different about you. We walk into places and demons say, hey, we know who you are. You are one of those Jesus people. We go into places and peace begins to happen. We go into places and people say, I experience joy like I've never experienced because you are present. Our company is flourishing because you are here. Our school is now somewhat different, and we don't know why. We know why. It's because God's priest is present. When we understand who we are, that we are priests to God, that means that everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. So when Jesus walks on water, you can walk on water. When Jesus heals, you can heal. When Jesus resurrects from the dead, you can resurrect from the dead. When Jesus says that you can have it, that means that you can have it, because we are priests of God, and there is nothing that God withholds with us. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that you will do greater work than he has done. Jesus says that you are more than a conqueror. Jesus says that because my spirit is on you and because I am with you, that there is nothing that you and I can't do, because God calls us to be his priest, just as the Lord commands. Just as the Lord commands. Leviticus 8 shows us that we are clothed in Christ, that he covers our shame and our sin, and he presents us as beautiful, spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish, so that we can be that to the world, just as the Lord command. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you don't leave us directionless. You don't leave us wondering, but you make it clear in your word that, God, that you are with us in what you have called us to do in the earth. God, continue to teach us how we are to be your priest in every area that we go. Show us how to love better. Show us how to live better. Show us how to be your Tzadikim, the righteous ones who will disadvantage themselves for the advantage of others. Father, we understand that we might be a ragtag army, that we might not have all of the best accoutrements of life. But God, if your word shows us nothing, it shows us that you can do a whole lot with a little bit. So God, we don't withhold anything from you. Take our lives and mold them. We withhold nothing. Take our every part of us, and Lord, use it as you see fit. God, we thank you for allowing us to have fellowship with you, because it's nothing of us, but it's all of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.